Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, Blanchardstown and Liffey Valley are on my screen at the moment. And when people say Blanchardstown, they mean Blanchardstown Shopping Centre invariably. And when they say Liffey Valley, they mean Liffey Valley Shopping Centre, not the wonderful park that's out there. But anyway, the Liffey Valley call is bizarre. Liffey Valley, as you know, as a shopping centre, has been closed, our listener says, for nearly 9 months. But last January, her husband got Liffey Valley gift cards for his 60th birthday to the value of 300 quid. Unfortunately, since then, Liffey Valley has been closed. So you've no opportunity to use your Liffey Valley gift card, she says. And so far, of the 300 quid, she went up on Saturday because they're back open again, Liffey Valley have harvested 45 quid. 45 quid of the three, that's about 17, 18%. For nothing. She says the gift cards between them have lost 45 quid and she wants to know why, because she said the only way I could have got in was through a skylight in the last 5 months to try and spend. So we're waiting on a response from Liffey Valley until we do it. But in the meantime, when I say Blanchardstown, we're not talking about Blanchardstown Shopping Centre. Much more importantly, we're talking about Blanchardstown Hospital, Connolly Hospital, an incredible facility there on the west side of Dublin. Now, Aoife Madden. Aoife, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What happened?
Well, I received a text message from the HSE that was organised by the Rotunda for me to go and get my vaccine.
Okay,
I'm currently 28 weeks pregnant.
Congratulations. Brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant.
So my time was for 10 to 3. Mm-hmm. I arrived 20 minutes early.
Okay.
Got out of the car and I could see the vaccination centre and there was just women standing all over the car park.
Okay.
I walked up. And I was saying, you know, where's the end of the queue? Where's the end of the queue? And everyone was kind of pointing. So I hopped into the queue and it was doubled up. So you had to go all the way around the car park and then all the way back around again before you even got to the vaccination centre. And everyone was very heavily pregnant.
Yeah.
There was no seats. There was no water. There was no one there helping or no signs for a toilet. I counted and there was at least 56 women in front of me in the queue.
And obviously, your point is, obviously, by definition, everyone was pregnant. Two, among other things, when you're pregnant, it's not an illness by any stretch of the imagination. It's a fantastic time. But your bladder is under pressure.
Yeah.
Your bladder is under pressure. So and there's nothing more embarrassing than trying to dance. So 56, how quickly did it move then?
I was there for about 20 minutes. I hadn't moved at all.
Okay.
And another 10 women had joined the queue behind me.
All right.
That's my back was hurting me. Yeah. My feet were starting to hurt like that. I needed to use the toilet.
Yeah.
So that's, I said, I can't do this. I can't stand here. Because my mother then, who was absolutely livid, went to the front of the queue and spoke to a lady who was much heavier pregnant than me and had been there on her feet for over an hour and a half.
Wow,
and she wasn't even in the building yet.
So what did you do? Or what were you forced to do?
I left. And I was very disappointed because I wanted to get my vaccine.
Of course, yeah.
But you wouldn't treat animals like that.
And
no water, nowhere to sit, nothing.
Yeah. And what was the weather like outdoors? It was horrific.
Okay, but the day before, Friday, it had been absolutely lashing.
Downpour, yeah.
So, if it had started raining, I don't know what the plan was.
Now, if it could, you know the way they do it, remember when people used to queue up for houses and queue up for a place in a school? Could someone take your place? Or would that be unfair to the other women?
There was a few men now that were standing in line for their wives or their girlfriends or whoever were in the car waiting.
Okay. Making a show of all the other men who weren't.
Yeah.
So, And people thought that was okay. That's okay. Like, just if a relative or a friend or a partner wanted to stand, hold your place in the queue.
Yeah.
Now, when your mother went up to the, well, did she speak to an official, or she spoke to someone else on the queue who was even?
No, there was no one to speak to her. She was going up to look for someone official to say, you know, what's the story here? And there was no one to talk to. There was no one to ask her, answer her questions or anything. So she just ended up speaking to another pregnant lady in the queue.
And you know, when you get your text from the HSE, is there any capacity for you to respond or ask for a different time? Or
no.
Okay. No. So have you looked up the website since? Is there any indication on the website that anyone who wasn't able to, and the reason you went, it wasn't because you were going to a disco, you're going to Coppers. Yeah. It was because you were heavily pregnant and tired and needed to go to the loo. So that's a perfectly legitimate reason. But is there anything on the website saying, because overall the vaccination process has been quite good, and I've heard two separate people who went to Connolly, and both of them were very, very happy. They're saying the staff were brilliant, but the staff don't decide the number of people who come in for vaccinations. That's done at a different level. So have you had any communication?
No. Well, I rang the rotunda to make a complaint, and there was no one to take my call.
Yeah.
So that's as far as I took it now. But like that's it's very frustrating. That's, my dad went in and got his vaccine in the Helix, and I know loads of other people who did, and there was no issues. There was no like huge queues like that. Everyone had a seat to sit on. Apparently, they were giving out water as well to Helix. So I don't understand why at the centre where it was just for pregnant women, that all these facilities weren't available, and we were all just left standing outside.
And would there have been room for chairs?
Yeah,
it's a big car park. Yeah, it's big.
And everyone was social distancing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So there was 2 metres between. Everyone was kind of standing further away from everyone, you know. So there would have been loads of room for chairs.
What are you going to do?
I'm just going to have to wait my turn like everybody else and wait for my age group to come around to register for the vaccination.
Well, that could be, I don't know what age you are. You're obviously quite young.
Well, I'm 28.
Yeah,
I'm 29.
Very young, very young. You're getting younger by the day, Eva.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting older. You've gone from 28 to 29 in about 12 seconds. But anyway, but that's going to be a long way down the road.
Yeah, unfortunately. But that was the only option now that I had seen. I couldn't have stood there, Joe,
Of course, I understand that. Absolutely.
I know, and I was lucky because my mum had given me a lift in. But when my mum offered to give me a lift, I first said, no, it's grand, I'll get the bus. Imagine I had gone on my own and gotten the bus there and had to stand around waiting for hours and on my own to get the bus back.
Yeah.
I would have been absolutely like, on the verge of collapsing. You know?
And then it's a busy bus route, and if the bus was half full, it would fly by you.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to stop now. And do you think, Aoife, I know you haven't even got your first jab, but do you think women will come back for their second jab if that's the experience?
Oh, I don't know. I'd be trying to think of myself after that ordeal. I'm definitely going back for the second. I'm getting the full lot, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I hope it doesn't put people off. But would you can you email anyone? Can you write a letter to anybody? Put it in the post box to the rotunda. The rotunda, I presume, are up to their eyes. Why not write a letter and they'll get it tomorrow or the next day and say, I just couldn't. Explain it to them. No, I can't imagine anybody saying, you know, get to the back of the chronological queue. I'd say if the rotunda get the message, or the HSE get the message, they will address it.
Yeah,
like, we want you to get the vaccination. It's really important for pregnant women. I know the chances of something going wrong are very, very slim, but they have decided that pregnant women are getting the vax. So
yeah, just, you know, they're pushing it and they're advertising it, and then That's what the result was.
Okay, Kira is on the line. Joe at rt.ie, 51551, wash your hands. That's the text number. Kira.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
What happened? You're
I just went in for a scan last week. I'm 12 weeks pregnant and I was going into Hollis Street and I saw this queue. Now, it wasn't quite as long. There was probably, I don't know, maybe 50 women outside. And I thought, oh my God, I'm really looking forward to getting the vaccine. That'll be at 14 weeks.
Okay.
Maybe when I'd be called for it, I haven't heard yet. But I thought, how am I going to manage? Like, at the moment, I can barely make it around doing a quick shop in the supermarket with the mask on. I'm totally exhausted afterwards and I have to come home and lie down. And I just thought, how am I going to manage that? And I was thinking, okay, I'll have to make sure I can get somebody to come with me so they can carry the camping chair.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and hope that the weather is good. Because I've seen queues, like I live in Wicklow and I've seen a queue in Greystones there. There must have been easy 200 people. And it was one of those days last week when it was bucketing down. And you had these elderly people outside in the rain for I don't know how long. I mean, surely there's a better system to it.
And when you say the queue on Hollis Street, which is one of the busiest and narrowest traffic streets in Dublin, it's a narrow enough footpath. Where was the queue going back down towards that shop on the corner?
No, it's going the other way.
Around onto Merrion Square?
No, kind of out. They went the main engine, like when you look at the building, if you're coming down.
From Fitzwilliam Street, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
that
they
big,
were
standing
outside there and then going, queuing down Mount Street.
There's Mount Street lower or upper one.
And some of the women obviously were probably maybe 36 weeks pregnant and just looked really fed up. And I thought, oh God, hopefully, like maybe.
And there's nowhere. You see, there used to be a few pubs. They're all shut, obviously. I think one of them has been completely rebuilt. But there's nowhere to use the bathroom around there, is there?
No, and I'm sure maybe if you asked somebody who was in line beside you, could said, listen, I'm going to go run into the hospital and see can I go to the loo, if they let you in, you know. But it's an intimidating enough experience going into the hospital when you're pregnant anyway. I went in for my scan without my husband, kind of to go through that, and then waiting for your vaccine, standing out in possibly the rain, and what this is, you know, our May weather, which is normally much better, but
normally, stay with us for a sec here. Aoife, did anyone come along the queue on Saturday in Connolly Memorial in Blanchardstown? Did anyone, which often happens, and say, listen, we're sorry about the delay, here's a ticket, or this is your number on the queue?
No,
so
not like that.
If you do need to slip away.
No, there was nothing. And that's what I was saying. That's it wouldn't have taken much common sense
to organise
like a ticket service or take everybody's number and, you know, got a text to let them know that their time in the queue was coming up instead of having everybody waiting around for over 2 hours, you know? Yeah. And that's pregnant women are supposed to be
priority. Yeah, and they
are. Given the option to go to our GP, we're all herded together in this massive number.
And pregnancy doesn't just mean you've a nice glow off you, as people say. It means you're going, your body is going through a lot of challenges and pressures. And obviously, they should know that. Kira, when you get your call for the jab in Hollis Street, what are you going to do?
I will go for it.
Great.
I think it's the safer option, absolutely. But luckily, I'm in a position where, you know, my parents are flexible with work. My partner, not so much Monday to Friday, but I'll be able to have somebody there to come in with me and maybe they can find my spot in the queue. I mean, the thing is, you're in the city centre as well. You're paying for parking. You're not going to find parking beside the hospital. It's not like you can just go and have a seat in the car and take a breather and relax, you know, as you're waiting. Anyway,
and you know,
I have to go.
Kira, mind yourself. And remember, I was going to point out to Kira there that the most clamped area in Dublin is Merrion Square. So people have that pressure as well. OK, Aoife, I really hope, and even as I say, if you could even put a note in the post. So you were a formidable young woman, and your mother sounds like a formidable woman as well. So between the two of you, Cagney and Lacey, I'd say try and no one would begrudge it to you. Don't wait for your age. The most important thing at the minute is not your age, but the fact that you're pregnant.
Thank you very much.
I hope
Joe.
It goes well.
Thank you very much. I'll definitely take it further.
Is this your first baby?
My second.
And what age is your baby?
She'll be three in July.
Oh, great. And does she know She's a new brother or sister coming.
She's very excited.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Nicola, just stay there. Nicola, you were sent for the vaccine because you're pregnant as well. Where did you go, Nicola?
Yeah, I went to the Bloomfield Hotel in Mullingar on Friday, they were just excellent.
Brilliant.
Got a call on Thursday evening at 6:30.
Super.
Which was just a brilliant surprise, and had an appointment then at 8:50 on Friday morning, and I got there. Now, there was a queue outside, and the weather wasn't great, but it moved along fairly quickly. There were so many stewards, really all wearing high vis. They were really identifiable, so friendly, so helpful. So, I mean, I was there for 8:50, and I was out and all, ringing my parents, celebrating the fact that I'd been vaccinated by 9:45.
Brilliant.
So, were the
facilities inside to take into account that the queue was made up of women who were in that wonderful state, they were pregnant?
Was there signs for toilets?
Was there?
I didn't need to use the loo while I was there, but it was a hotel, so I presume there were plenty of facilities around. There was lots. Once you got inside, there were plenty of places to sit down.
Right.
And they had there was a good bit of administrative stuff that had to happen. So, you know, they were really excellent at, you know, ushering you from one mm-hmm. point where you had to fill in forms, and then another point where you had to give consent. And then there were so many people directing you where to go next. There was a waiting area. And then they had a fantastic setup where they had loads of cubicles with an automatic green light, red light system on it. And once the green light came on and you were next,
Nicola, do you know of Bloomfield? Because I see one call this morning when we were going through the calls. One call said that they live in Mullingar, but they weren't pregnant, but they had to go to Navan for the vaccination. So is Bloomfield, is that hotel a vaccination centre or just for this specific this specific cohort, pregnant women?
I know there was one lady ahead of me who was a healthcare worker as well. So I honestly don't know. I don't live in Mullingar. So I don't know whether this is the centre that they're using instead of the hospital. But I got a call from the hospital from a lovely midwife in the hospital on Thursday evening. And she had told me that it was going to be in the Bloomfield Hotel. So it must be operating kind of on an ongoing basis. I was so impressed.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
Said.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Okay, Nicola, hope everything goes well. I'm sure it will. And Georgina Morphy.
Hello.
Greystones.
Hi there,
thanks,
how are
Nicola.
You?
Good, Georgina. What happened? This is another good story.
Yeah, I had a similar experience to Nicola there. I was my appointment was in Greystones at the Shoreline Centre on Saturday morning. I'm just part of that age cohort. Now, I would notice the toilet situation because I have an overactive bladder, so I tend to be kind of aware of toilet availability. And I'm pretty sure there was some portaloos outside the centre.
Okay,
and then inside the centre, there was obviously access to a toilet if you needed it. And I must say, I thought it was really efficient.
Great.
I was in and out in about kind of 45, 50 minutes. My husband then had to go to the Aviva for his the next day. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure how that works. But anyway, he was probably in and out in about an hour and he was fine and happy with it. So, yeah, very impressed with it. I think it's been run very well.
But the loos are really important because, again, when we did it on, it was a Friday about, or Thursday maybe, about the Dublin City Centre, the absence of loos, like a number of people, again, they didn't get on air, but reading through it afterwards, they have just stopped going into Dublin City Centre.
Yeah,
because they know they need it. Their comfort is gone.
Yeah, because there was a while here in Bray when they closed both sets of toilets on the seafront, and I literally had to stop doing my kind of walk around by the seafront because I knew if I kind of walked down there, I'd have to stop and use the loo somewhere. So.
Okay.
So you got
yourself and your husband have got the first jab.
We actually got the Johnson & Johnson, so in a fortnight we'll be covered, yeah, so celebrations.
Oh, wow. Have many people in the country got the J&J?
I think they were doing them at those two centres for this weekend. I don't know if they've got more, but delighted, yeah.
That's your vaccination protocol finished?
Yes, I'm delighted, yeah.
Congratulations, Georgina.
Yeah.
I'd be doing... backflips and handstands up and down the seafront and gravestones. I wouldn't worry about me over anyway. Well done. Congratulations. That's the first person I've spoken to has got the Janssen or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is just one jab. Thanks, Georgina Murphy. Roisin Bourne. Roisin, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you, Roisin? Where were you? Where were you queuing?
I was queuing in City West on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So I got there around 8:30. My appointment was for 9:10. The queues were really, really long. So we were queuing outside for up until around 10:30 or so. Then I finally got into the building and there was lovely ladies inside and they kind of were starting to take all the pregnant women out of the queues and put us into a separate queue.
Great, okay.
So they were offering us chairs and stuff like that.
Oh,
and when that happened, things started to move a bit quicker then.
Okay.
So I was back in the car then by 11, but it was a long wait.
So you were kind of in a general queue.
We were all in a general queue. There was men, women, pregnant women, not pregnant women. There was everybody,
okay.
Yeah. But no, once we got inside the building, that's when they kind of realised the amount of pregnant women there was.
Okay.
And they started moving us into a separate queue.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
And remember, nobody would object to that. Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
Everyone else was like, oh, go on ahead,
yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
I just thank God the weather was fine because we were outside for the bulk of it.
Yeah.
And then we eventually got into the building.
You arrived at what time?
8:30.
And what time were you back out at?
Back in the car with my husband at 11.
Yeah, it's still a long time.
And yeah, it was a
many,
long
many stint. Weeks pregnant?
I'm 33 and a half weeks pregnant.
Oh,
so I kind of asked then as well, what do I do about the second one? Because I won't be able to get it before baby comes.
Yeah, of course.
And I kind of got nearly 4 or 5 different answers.
Okay.
So I don't know when I'll get the second one, but you're lucky, so I've got the first one.
Well, the baby's not too far away now.
No, time's ticking, thank God. I'm nearly there.
Is this your first?
Second.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I hope everything goes well in the next few weeks. I'm sure it will.
Hopefully it will.
Lovely time of year as well for a new baby.
The summer coming in
and out and about and your buggy. And
exactly. And the bright days. Hopefully the good weather will come soon. Yeah. We'll get a bit of a summer.
Good God. We've had enough rain now to keep us going
till
the end of December. Okay, Roisin Bourne, thanks indeed. And
best wishes
for the next few weeks. Aoife, likewise, you're 28 weeks. Best wishes. And if we hear anything about how we can get Aoife back in that in for her jab, we will go straight to her and tell her. 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Back to the Liffey Valley voucher. Liffey Valley closed for the last, well, one listener says 9 months, but they got vouchers to the value of 300 quid for Christmas. And obviously the first time it opened was last week, and she went in on Saturday, and of the 300 quid, and the name on the gift card is Liffey Valley gift card, and there's 45 quid 18% have gone off it already in a monthly administration fees. When, as I say, the only way she could have got in was to do a Tom Cruise and abseil from the from the skylight of the Liffey Valley shopping centre, because it was lock, stock and barrel closed, apart from one of the shops, I think, the grocery shops. Helen, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe, how are you?
Good. What happened to you and how did you resolve it? Fair play.
Well, I did resolve it, and I have to say, first of all, I had absolutely no problem in resolving it.
Great.
My husband had a gift card for €50,
mm-hmm.
which he got in at Christmas 2019, which was a year ago this Christmas, right?
Okay, yeah.
So anyway, he said, there you are, use away, and he checked the balance on it, and there was 24... There was an amount gone off it. Yeah, it was 24 or 25 euro was gone off it, and I said, "Oh my God!" Anyway, so I rang Liffey Valley, and the girl, very nice, she said, "Well, it's we take €3 a month administration fee of the card."
Why?
And I said, why? And she says, well, we don't do it. It's not us that do it here.
Well, who's doing it?
It's a financial company.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who's doing it. We want to know why.
I rang. She gave me the name of the financial company. I think it was FG Financial or PG Financial.
Yeah.
That was the name of the financial company. I Googled it, got the number, I rang them, and they said, yes, if the voucher is not used within the year, if you don't use your voucher, we deem it that you're not using it per se.
Yeah.
So we don't hold that voucher any longer than a year, so we take €3 per month off it.
And that's very good. That's not very good of them now.
Now, and I said, but
you've already given them the money.
You've already given 50. This is how they make their money.
Or 100 or whatever, yeah.
This is how they make their money.
And where was I reading recently that 20% of gift vouchers end up down the back of the sofa? Never see the light of day.
Yeah, and they have your money.
Yeah.
So I said, like you said, unless I abseiled last Christmas into Liffey Valley, I had no way of using it for the year. So they said, Liffey Valley will refund you per month that they were closed. Absolutely no problem.
Well, no issue.
And I said...
Big deal.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So off I went into Liffey Valley and she said, no problem. We'll refund you January, February, March and April. But unfortunately, we can't refund you May because we take, or the €3 is taken out of the voucher on the 19th of every month. And I only went in on Friday.
And our caller went in on Saturday and her money, she got 45 quid was taken off her €300 worth of vouchers.
Yeah, but I still had an argument, Joe, because I said, well, wait a minute, I said.
Right.
I live in County Kildare.
Okay.
And we were in lockdown, Kildare, Laois and Offaly.
Yeah.
I couldn't leave Kildare to go to Liffey Valley.
That's true, yeah.
Plus,
Liffey Valley
when
was
you're
closed.
The over 70s had to cocoon.
Yeah.
So I couldn't leave my home.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to get on to the financial company, which I did. And I got all my money back.
Oh, well done. Bit of effort now, but they shouldn't be taking any money.
No.
Stay there, Helen. Tony Morgan runs Lipton's in Clonus. Tony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Gift vouchers.
Gift vouchers. I believe gift vouchers should have no expiry date. Yeah. There should be no admin charge. The customer is advancing a 100% interest-free loan. It's a 0% interest-free loan. So even if the voucher goes, not a deal, even if it's 15 years old, you've had that cash for 15 years and you've used it. So you should respect the customer and give them the full value of that.
And I know some companies, I know FX Buckley's were doing it in the Bowling Castle up. This is before they shut down, it's 2 years ago, and I saw they were selling, you could get a gift voucher that was worth 120 quid and you could buy it for 100 quid. In other words, they were recognising that if you got a gift voucher, you should be getting a premium because they're getting the money up front, which is a fantastic gesture. And now it's the other way.
Yeah.
So do you do gift vouchers?
We sell a lot of vouchers. At Lipton's, actually, we have on our voucher, I sent you a picture there, it says expiry date, never. No expiry date. I think that's insulting the customer.
Yeah, okay. Well, Liffey Valley, we've got a response from their PR company. Liffey Valley does not deduct management fees from the gift cards.
No.
The management fee in question is levied by the gift card provider as opposed to the shopping centre. But who hires a lift card provider for Liffey Valley? Is Liffey Valley written on your gift card, Helen?
Yes, I have it here in front of me,
well,
Joe.
That's
like an ordinary credit card, Liffey Valley, but it is an actual prepaid MasterCard.
Yeah, okay. Well,
Liffey Valley gift vouchers.
But as Tony Morgan says, if you buy a a gift voucher. You're giving that company an interest-free loan. Now, I know
exactly
no rates today.
But what a lot of people don't understand, Joe, is that it's a prepaid MasterCard, and you do not have to specifically use that card in Liffey Valley Shopping Centre. You can use that card in, which I have, Dunn Stores. Okay. You can use it in any shop that accepts MasterCard. You're not specifically tied to Liffey Valley.
Okay, well, I can tell you, this statement has just come in, 14:13, what time is it now? It's now 14:17. Liffey Valley, we've been made aware of a specific situation in the past week in respect of gift cards and management fee deductions, which have been impacting some customers negatively. Liffey Valley does not wish to inconvenience its shoppers and is happy to confirm that we'll wait for this, Helen. Have we got the trumpets now? Have we got the bugles? Have we got the brass band? Liffey Valley is happy to confirm that we'll refund all customers immediately for any deductions incurred on their gift card during the 3 lockdown periods and over the years 2020-21. Customers can come to the customer service, there's going to be a queue, to the customer service desk at Liffey Valley, and they will be reimbursed through the issuing of a new gift card equivalent to the amount deducted. I presume there won't be a management fee on that now. We will also refund any expiry charge related to gift cards. Typically, what's the expiry charge? What's the expiry charge?
I don't know. I didn't come across that issue at all. But it says on my card...
That typically, according to Liffey Valley, that typically amounts to £8. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well done. Give us a bugle then and we can... Well done, Helen. Stand up.
It was the principle of it that got me.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, that came in at 14:13 and we mentioned that... We mentioned at 13:45.
And when you're getting your refund back, as I say, it's on a new card, you sign for it. You give your name and, you actually sign for it. So I'm sure they're probably listening and saying, Helen may have been the first person in, which I was in on Friday. I just didn't accept it.
In the States, in the United States of America, Unused gift cards. Guess how much is unused in gift cards every year? $3 billion.
Oh my God.
$3 billion.
And now where does that money go?
Where's it go? It goes to the companies.
Yeah. It is the financial company here that are making the money.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But it's a Liffey Valley name. I don't care who they hire to do it. Liffey Valley can say... Tony, have you any idea... Well, you've no expiry date. You've no management fee because there's no expiry date on the cash you were given in the first place, as you say. Have you any idea what percentage of your gift cards would not be redeemed or get lost or go into the wash or the dry cleaners or the baby eats it or the dog eats it or it gets...
I think the people of Clonus are very astute in the surrounding area. I'd say 99% of our vouchers are used.
Yeah.
And again, the book remains open forever, so even vouchers issued in 1992 are still valid.
Well, apparently there's one figure that the companies go on, and that is that 3% of gift cards are never redeemed. 3% of the value, if you follow me. So 3% is a good margin, isn't it?
If
you're just relying on that, you've already, before you go anywhere, when you send the gift card, on average, you're getting the as well as getting the £100 in, £3 on average of that is never redeemed. That's not a bad little margin, is it?
It's very good, but the vast majority of our vouchers will be redeemed within a month.
I know that. But anyway, as you say, they can redeem it in 20 years' time with you, as far as you're concerned.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, Tony Morgan, where's...
Sorry, Helen, I could just say here, I'm looking at my gift card here, right? And it says, this card, on the back of the credit card, as we say, this card remains the property of WDCS.
WDCS.
The gift card is operated by RG Financial Limited. I knew it was I said PG, no, RG Financial.
Okay, that was all letters. Yeah. Letters today. Well done, Helen.
All right.
Well done on sorting that out.
So I would advise anybody to go to Liffey Valley.
Yeah, to the customer service, yeah.
You will be refunded. Get your proof of address if you live in Kildare. They'll know that you were in lockdown and you couldn't get out of your county.
Yeah, of course. And you couldn't get in anyway. Even if you tunneled your way out of the Curragh, you couldn't get into Liffey Valley.
Yeah,
well,
but
maybe
you
if you kept the tunnel.
But you could get into it,
Joe.
You could get into Liffey Valley.
In the supermarkets, is it?
Well, no, because Kildare, I live in County Kildare.
Yeah.
And we were locked down.
Yeah.
So I could not leave County
anyway,
Kildare
okay.
if to you, go to Liffey Valley.
Even if the supermarkets were open there, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's RG Financial. They're the financial company that are running these gift cards.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm none the wiser. I know loads of different... I'd be able to play boggle of so many letters here in front of me. WDCS, RG, PG. Well, I've no vowels. They're useless to me. Thanks, Helen. Well done, Helen. And once again, for Helen, congratulations. Yes. Now I'm going to ask Helen, would you go to Belarus and sort out that dictator who's hijacking planes? Amanda...
Joe.
How are you?
Good.
How much?
I also have a shopping centre card. It's not Liffey Valley, it's a different one. But I got it in February 2020 and there was €100 on it. And I just checked it while I was on the phone to you and there's only 91 on it now.
Ah, for God's sake. And has the location of the gift voucher, has it been open?
No. Just grocery stores again.
Yeah. So you didn't have any choice?
No.
And they've taken £9 out of it?
Yeah, I just checked it now. There's 91 left out of the 100.
Okay. Have you been able to say anything to them? I presume they'll have to follow.
No, I only checked it now while I was listening to you.
Well, maybe I'll give them the statement from Liffey Valley and they can just copy and paste the statement when they decide to give you, which they will decide to give you your money back.
Yeah.
We weren't open. Sorry about that. Come into the customer service desk. We'll give you a voucher for whatever was deducted even. Paul O'Rourke, Amanda, stay there. Paul O'Rourke, Joe with RT.
How are you, Joe?
Paul, you're yeah. following this charade. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is that the legislation that was passed, I think it was about 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think you, your show actually made a big deal of it.
Because we were covering
it for years. They brought in like 5-year expiry dates on gift vouchers.
Yeah.
Or you could have gift vouchers with no expiry date.
Because remember, some gift vouchers, believe it or not, had 12 months expiry dates. Some of them had 6 months. Shocking.
Yeah.
Well, that's gone.
But the legislation never did anything about admin charges that were being supplied. Yeah. Which is what you're looking at now. I think even One For All.
That's a big one.
They charge you about, what is it, €1.45 a month after 12 months.
For what?
They call it an admin charge.
For what? What does it's in the computer. What are they saying? They go through
these are mostly chip and pin, but...
Yeah, whatever.
Do it because they can.
Exactly, Paul O'Rourke. Well said. They do it because they can.
It was left out of the legislation.
Because the government once again bottled out. It's blatantly obvious. I know the 6-month thing was so crazy. Then they, after public pressure, they decided to, after consultation, I'd say the consultation was with vested interest, they decided to introduce a 5-year, in other words, it must be a minimum of 5 years. Should be a minimum of infinity, as your cash is a minimum of infinity, whatever you paid for. But you say they left in the charges. Now, were you saying that's one way of companies even... Because remember, overall, the stats are they're making a clear 3%. If they never... The 3% of all gift vouchers, the value of gift vouchers is never redeemed for obvious reasons. People lose them, people swallow them, people throw them in the wash, people give them to the dog, people whatever. So you're saying the only reason that administration fee is because they can?
I would say so. It's fading. They'll say that it's It's an interest charge or something that they have because these cards were not used in the first year, and then they have a credit charge that they have to hold on it or something. But the thing is as well, a lot of these gift vouchers, gift cards, it's not just one for all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of other prepaid MasterCard and Visa card suppliers. A lot of these are given us staff bonuses.
Yeah. But the only one that the government have decided is tax-free is the one for all. Are you sure?
No, absolutely.
I thought it was just one for all voucher.
No, absolutely.
You could give.
There's a number of
okay,
other suppliers.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me there.
Yeah,
you say
I know there's a company called Perks.
Okay, you say, and how much can an employer give an employee? Because now it's time to think of, hopefully, when businesses get going for people are going to be run off their feet. How much of a gift card? Much is the value of a gift card?
It's 500 okay. euros,
and that will not be taxed. That
a
will
year,
not. That will not be taxed.
More gift exemption.
That will not be taxed.
Yeah. So what happens is you effectively give it as part of the payroll by way of a gift voucher, and it's not taxable.
Okay. Veronica, thanks, Paul. Veronica.
Hi, Joe.
Good. You have one for all.
I thought I had.
Okay.
Last Wednesday, I went to Power City in Coolock,
uh-huh.
and the girl told me it was a 100 voucher, and my son gave me in 219, and 840, Joe, was taken out of it.
A40 for what?
Don't know. She just said, because I hadn't used it in 12 months.
But if you had put that 100 euro in a Jacob's biscuit tin under your bed,
no.
You would have taken it out and there still would have been 100 euro in the Jacob's biscuit tin.
I know.
Unless the mice got at it or something.
That's what's so maddening, and I'm glad you brought this up. But I was just saying to your research there, Claire Byrne was talking about this last week.
Okay, very good.
And she had someone on about one of these consumer. It was a
oh yeah, Sinead,
young girl.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know.
And she said she got onto One for All, and if people had a problem, they will be reimbursed. But as I told your researcher, well,
they won't be reimbursed at the administration fee because. That's, anyway.
Yeah, but anyway, I was telling you, I couldn't get through, Joe. I tried the next day because the girl gave me the card. Now, it was a man's voice, but I'm sure, Joe, as I said to a researcher, I think it was a recording.
Okay.
But nobody came on to me. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Okay, Veronica, thanks for putting that into the mix. Louis Copeland of Louis Copeland and Sons, Capel Street in Dublin, milliner to gentlemen and indeed ladies for well over 200 years. And Louis has been there for only 150 of those years. Louis, good afternoon. Are you back open again?
Good. Oh, you're totally open. And things. Everybody's in great form. Everybody's great. Upbeat. And I was just listening to the conversation about the gift vouchers.
Okay.
Our gift vouchers never go out of date.
Brilliant.
It could be 50 years old, and in fact, if they're 10 years older or older, we give another 10% on top of that, because we've been using your money for the last 10 years, so we're going to give you another 10% if they're 10 years older.
Well, and Louis, do you have a management fee, a monthly management fee?
No, not at all.
What?
I don't know. It's like you give me 10 euro, I put it in the Jacob's biscuit tin, and then I give it back to you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just trying to work out what the is the management fee. Whoever in these companies that charge a management fee every month, is it what they pay someone to sit down at the scrivener's desk in their fingerless gloves once a month to go through every? Well,
I
can't
say it. Yeah. I think it's terrible that people, you know, are charged management fees. I mean, people get the money and they're using their money, so it shouldn't be like that. I mean, you know. Gift vouchers should never go out of date.
I see you had Dr. McDreamy in with you last week.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Dempsey. Well, in fact, I have to say, he's a thorough gentleman and a lovely man and loves clothes, and he's great taste, hasn't he, coming to us?
Oh, yeah. How did you come across Louis Copeland?
It's a long story, but louiscopeland.com, I mean, is a great, that's what. Yeah. Survived this over the last year, so the online has been brilliant. So LoughCopen.com was business. So, and we're doing clothes for the film as well, you know.
How are you? But yeah, what type of clothes are you doing? Are you have you signed a non
customer confidentiality?
That's what I'm going to say. Non-disclosure. Disclose your clause. Yeah. Okay, so you got there's a gig there for, what's it called, Enchanted or Disenchanted?
Enchanted, yeah.
Enchanted. And it's filming in Enniskerry.
I'm looking for a walk-on part.
Okay, walk-off part. Okay, so you're back up and running. What's happening in Capel Street? Is it?
Yeah, in about the parking and
the build-out. Yeah, and the.
I think it should be a kind of, I think they're going too far. I think they're kind of going too far. I think it should be a bit of a hybrid, it should be kind of half and half. Maybe build out where the restaurants are and leave some of the car spaces there for people to come in and go out. Even if they raise the fees for the car park, I wouldn't mind, because people want to come in, leave the car there, collect the stuff and go away. But I mean, I don't think they should close the whole street off with no parking.
And is it still available for through traffic onto Cable
Street? Oh yeah.
I mean, onto Cable Street Bridge.
That's never closed.
Do you think so, yeah?
Yeah, never closed.
Why? Because it's such an important artery.
Well, yeah, it's an artery.
Artery is a competition I play. Yeah, okay, such an important artery. And then again, the other thing we're told, the signs, public transport was only for essential workers.
Yeah.
So, on the one hand, and then on the other hand, the city council are so anti-car, as you know. But anyway, so you're back up and running.
That's back up and running.
And your vouchers, we like yourself, Lou, your vouchers never expire.
Never expire.
Okay.
And as I say, we give another 10% on top of that.
Okay. And how all your staff, Sir Richard Louis, can I ask that? And everyone.
All the staff are great.
Great. Brendan, all the lads.
All the lads.
Okay. Louis Copeland and sons. The most important person in Louis Copeland's family, apart from his wife, is your daughter. How's she doing?
She's great, yeah. All good. All good.
She's a businesswoman.
She's a businesswoman, like her outfit.
Yeah, great. And she's doing well. She came up with some. I was reading about her separately. She came up with some incredible ideas. Well done. Well done. Okay, Louis Copeland, Gurimila Mahogat, 51551, League the Love.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Sarah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
There's only one word to describe what you outline in your email, and that's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. You work in a nursing home, you're a nurse. Tell us, take us through last year, 2020 for a start. How did you manage, and how did a nursing home manage?
Yeah. The problem that I have is that I'm a nursing manager in a nursing home providing care for 100 residents. Okay. And I love that place. I loved the director of nursing and her management team.
Yeah.
Loved the people living and working there and felt appreciated and respected for the work that I do. Mm-hmm. And we worked well together. But by the end of January of 2020, which is last year, realization had dawned on me when I was reading about Wuhan that we were in serious trouble. And I'm sure you know by now, Joe, listening to other people, that our residents become second family to us.
Yeah.
So I can only speak personally, really, that 2020, it was a terrible year.
Yeah.
It was just stolen by COVID. The worry, the terror, the loneliness that I experienced was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I was focused on protecting our residents. So I woke up to COVID every morning, and it was my last worry at night. And my days off were spent studying, attending Zoom conferences,
mm-hmm.
trying to catch up with the overwhelming stream of information. But in reality, I was drowning. Like a lot of my colleagues,
mm-hmm.
I chose to live a life apart and to live alone from March 2020 for the sake of our residents and my family.
Gosh.
My partner was banished, bless him. He ran my errands, he did my grocery shopping and dropped them into the boot of my car in a car park while we exchanged poignant virtual hugs. My fractured relationships with family and friends, they were all conducted through WhatsApp and Zoom. It was desperately lonely, but it was a kind of shared loneliness because many of my colleagues also had made this choice, and all of our residents were suffering this separation from their family and friends, mainly because we were afraid that we could transmit what was an invisible killer unknowingly. And the work seemed worth it to all of us because we succeeded in keeping COVID out of the nursing home.
Well done.
That was until January 2021. Our first positive resident was detected just before our vaccination program began in January 2021. This is mirrored all across the country. Within days, two-thirds of our residents had tested positive and half of our staff were out due to COVID. No description is adequate. Nothing can describe the horror that engulfed us. There's no emergency plan could prepare anyone for the speed and the impact of this catastrophic event. It was shock after shock. It was decision after decision. Heartbroken telephone call after telephone call. Zoom call after Zoom call. Death after death. It was so fast and so cruel. But you prioritised. I remember saying to myself, just keep breathing, just keep moving, just keep going. We'll get through it, we'll get through this eventually. So I contracted COVID in January. Nice. I think it was mainly due to the effect of a long, exhausting year and to working in the thick of it. I was very sick, but in a sense it was a relief to let go, to just be sick. I was alone, but I had support from my friends and my partner. I went back to work very quickly, but soon realised that I was too unwell to work and came out again. On my return the next time, I found myself to be not just breathless, but just very traumatised. I experienced terrors and flashbacks, death, insomnia. I was all over the place emotionally, and there was a strange kind of memory loss. Like I'd write constant lists, and I'd remember, but I'd be remembering forgotten tasks from my day, usually at about 2 a.m. So I'm on sick leave and I'm not fit to work at present. I try to imagine going back to work, but at the moment, Joe, the thought fills me with dread. Mm-hmm. I remain breathless and exertion. I'm attending counselling and I'm working with the trauma, and I do expect to improve in time.
And do you get any sick pay?
So the problem was because I returned to work after contracting COVID initially, I'm on sick leave. It's not COVID leave from work. So I'm in receipt of illness benefit, which is €203 a week. It's not COVID payment. It was €350 social welfare. And then again, this will be mirrored in nursing homes across the country. My employer's policy regarding COVID leave allowed for, where it was for COVID leave, it allowed for full pay. But their sick leave policy is different from the HSE policy even. So as a result, I'm due to go on half pay. And after 4 weeks, I'll receive no pay. And I'm paying my medical bills and for counselling now. So the GP care is free if somebody has COVID, but not long COVID. So I've already cut back, but within a short while, I'm probably going to give up my car and other bits and pieces. So I suppose the reason why I contacted you was because I know there has to be nurses and medical personnel in Ireland today who are unable to work as a result of COVID. Many of them must be on leave without pay at this time.
Yeah.
And for the, like a lot of our sector has nurses coming in from other countries and they don't even have social welfare. I don't know how they're managing. So I feel that I contracted this awful and it's a possibly life-limiting condition because I'm a frontline worker. But it feels like an insult has been added to the injury now because I'm facing an uncertain future financially, professionally and health-wise. I mean, I suppose my question really is, now that the crisis seems to be over, who's caring for the carers? So thank you for giving me a voice.
Well, your own powerful voice and your own powerful words, Sarah. And I really, I got such a glimpse of what the year was like. And you woke up every morning, insofar as you were sleeping, worried about COVID, even though you had managed for a year and the staff in your nursing home to keep out the, keep COVID out.
Yeah.
which is an incredible achievement. An incredible achievement. And then just as the vaccination was rolling in rolled in COVID. And then the worry and the shock and the upset. And you say you were living apart to try and protect everybody, including yourself, but primarily everyone in the nursing home. And that whole idea that your husband would leave the, or your partner would leave the shopping in the boot of your car in a big supermarket car park, and there'd be virtual hugs. And then COVID arrived, and that description of what was it, heartbreak after heartbreak, death after death, call after heartbreaking call after heartbreaking call. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, we kept our families in touch with our residents when they were ill, you know, through Zoom.
And one third of your residents, it flew through, which it is, it's virulence, it flew through your nursing home once it got in.
Well, statistically, I mean, the percentages are high nationally. I think I think they were saying, because it was a British variant, I think they were looking at about 1,000 deaths. Due to that, you know, in January of this year.
So do you know, is there a campaign that, for example, frontline workers who are ill should be put on the COVID payment rather than the sick pay, which is much less? Has that been raised, I wonder?
Well, what I was hoping to do, just by the fact of you airing this, maybe to hear what is happening. It's the nature of how we are, particularly when we're ill, that we end up almost very splintered. You know, I suppose it's hard to fight. We tend to fight for other people's rights. Mm-hmm. It's hard for us to fight for our own rights. I mean, we tend, particularly carers, you know, carers very much care for other people, and they're not great at caring for themselves usually.
It's just horrific, just horrific. And I was reading there over the weekend, for example, in India alone, I know it's a different demographic, but just to give you a picture, and we've lost medics here. In India alone, over 1,000 doctors have died from COVID. It's just the figures are just breathtaking at this stage.
And you see, many of our staff are Malaysian. And even during when the pandemic was very virulent in the UK, they were losing friends and family. But the other problem is, as I said to you, you know, our residents become second family to us. But again, it's the nature of nursing homes, you know. Like people end up having their own parents in nursing homes and having aunts and uncles and family members in nursing homes, especially out the country. Mm-hmm. So people lost their own family as well as caring for the other residents. They had their own family members, mothers and fathers or aunts and uncles, in that population as well.
Yeah. With your permission, Sarah, and obviously maintaining your privacy, with your permission, we put that full text of what you said up on our website and up on Twitter as well. It's just so, so powerful. If people could, they'll get a picture. And we all feel, we're all so versed now in the language of COVID and vaccinations and long COVID and Pfizer and all the new words that we've learned over the last 15 months. But I haven't heard such an incredible, evocative description of what it was like for someone on the front line, even though, as I say, you managed to keep it out for a year. But even that year was a living hell as well in your battle to keep it out. Sarah, thank you so much for raising those issues. And I hope you get back. Do you want to go back nursing? You're a long time nursing.
I am. At the moment, I'm focusing. I suppose one of the reasons why you stay in nursing particularly is because I often think of Archbishop Desmond Tutu's phrase of being a prisoner of hope. So I'm always hopeful, you know. I as I said to you, it's an uncertain future.
Yeah.
I mean, my focus at the moment is just simply around recovery. And then we'll see. I think one of the things just to add is, like, I'm nursing in Ireland for more than four decades. Mm. And as a young nurse, you know, because we were all indoctrinated into the belief that it was a vocation, we really, yeah. It was seen almost as being something that you didn't do. You didn't look for having rights, for having a sustainable job that would allow you to rear a family and not go home utterly drained and exhausted and apologetic. And now we have a new problem, because if we're heroes, it stops us from being human. And we're human, you know, we're people.
All superheroes don't wear capes. But I take your point. If we're heroes, we're first and foremost human, and we need to be treated. And that way, Enda is listening. Enda, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie. You're listening to Sarah, Enda.
Good afternoon, Joe, and good afternoon, Sarah. First of all, well done. Absolutely fantastic. And Joe, there's no doubt she has done, and many like her, to state some good.
Yeah.
And, you know, with regard to just on the point of the sick pay and the reduction, you know, this has to be rectified without stress or hassle for her and others. And that she does receive the COVID sick payment is the very, very least that can be done. And, you know, and done without fault with regard to government, the Department of Welfare or revenue. They have worked tirelessly. Things can slip through the cracks as well. So, you know, this should be resolved quickly. So she doesn't have to worry about pay and going now on half pay again. I think she said from 203 euros
and then,
to half of that.
Yeah.
So that's not what she needs. She needs, one, the reinstatement, two or three, but more to the point, to the 350, isn't it? I think the COVID payment, whatever the full is,
And Sarah, is long COVID recognised as an illness yet, as a long term illness? Do you know?
Not to my knowledge, not at this moment, not to my knowledge. And just to be clear, when I spoke about full pay and half pay, that would be my salary that I'm referring to. We have deductions for social welfare. Any social welfare payments are deducted from the salary.
But I say you're soon to go on half pay, and after 4 weeks you receive no pay. You're just beyond the 203.
Simply that. Yeah.
Okay, Sarah, thank you so much. And then to put it, thank you for your service. But as I say, that doesn't butter any parsnips. I hope that we can advance very quickly on dealing with long COVID, because it's now, I think, 6 months since we first started talking about it. And Sarah, how will carers recover psychologically from what you've been through?
See, when I look into the eyes of my team when I was back working, and so many of them are maybe newly into the country. They're young people, they have families, they have mortgages, they have so many needs that they, and we've done it, we do that traditionally anyway in nursing. You absolutely batten down. You suppress your emotions. You suppress what you're feeling, and it's what I said to you. You just get on the treadmill and you go day to day.
What did you say? You said I remember saying to myself, just keep breathing, just keep moving,
just keep going.
We'll get through it. We will get through this eventually.
Absolutely, because. Particularly, I mean, for all of us, it was about coping, helping the people we were taking care of, reducing suffering. And we have had so many beautiful tributes from families who've thanked us, you know. But so when you ask me about other people as well, I really do believe there are so many people working in the health service who are traumatized. And maybe that's even too strong a word, but definitely grieving and hurting. But they're just going to cope by getting through. And because we do that, we pay a high price at some stage.
I hope not, Sarah. But thank you for raising that in that way. And as I say, we will put what you said, your speech, your incredible speech, from the heart, and the heart of the pandemic and what it's been like for you and other carers over the last year, and also as in the way you thanked families, and indeed the what you say, your residents in the nursing home are like family to you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Sarah, thanks indeed. And end as well. Joe at rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Christine, what happened?
Good evening, Joe. It was last Tuesday,
yeah,
after lunch.
Okay.
I was coming back from shopping.
All right.
And when I drove into the driveway,
yeah,
there was this guy on the canopy roof,
okay,
of my home.
Wow. The roof over your porch, like?
Over my porch.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
and did you know he was going to be there?
No, I didn't. Okay. I had no idea.
And
no.
What did you say to him?
I opened the door and I said, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm fixing the roof for John the Builder."
All right. Who's John the Builder?
I don't know.
Is he out to Pat the postman?
I'm not sure, Joe. I don't know. But anyway, there's a builder, you see, Joe, working,
okay, John
down
the
road.
Yeah.
John the Builder. So I said to him, "Well, come on around with me to the builder."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "No." He said, "I'll ring him." So he dialed a number on his phone and he said to me, "You talk to him." And I said, "No, I'm not talking to anybody on your phone."
Of course, yeah. How did you? Yeah.
So anyway, I said to him, "Come on around to the builder with me."
Yeah. Fair play to you.
He walked off.
He walked off.
And out of where I live. Yeah.
And did he, Christine, did he have any equipment with him?
Not at all.
How did he get up on the canopy?
I don't know.
What age was he?
He'd be late 20s, maybe early 30s.
And was he,
full description of him.
Oh, good, I know. I don't doubt you. And was he?
Yeah.
How was he dressed?
Oh, a navy jumper.
Yeah.
Blue trousers.
Oh, good luck.
Tan shoes, laced, pointy toes. And a navy hat. Like, I think they called them boat hats, Joe. Now, I'm not sure.
Oh, and so he was dressed as a builder, not?
No.
No, of course he wasn't. And how did he swing down off the canopy when you said get off?
You know, I'm not sure. I can't remember him getting down off. But I happened to see something outside the door.
Okay.
And I said, "What's that?" Oh, he said, "That's a cup." But it was part of, you know, where the water goes down the...
Yeah, the drain pipe.
Yeah. He had obviously knocked that with his foot.
Yeah.
And I had left the window open, Joe.
But if he says to you, I'm doing some work for John the Builder up the road.
Yeah.
So what's that got to do with you?
That's why he was there. I said, that's the excuse he was making. You know, that's why he was on the roof.
By the way, were your any windows open?
Yes, I left a window open and he was just at it.
Because we have to leave windows open these days for ventilation. That's what we're told.
Yeah, well, I'm leaving no windows open in future.
And Chris, well, he won't come back. Don't worry, he won't come back. What did he look like he was heading for your window?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Another minute and he'd have been in the window.
Or
2 minutes.
And did you tell the guards?
Oh, I did. I phoned 999 then.
Well done. You're, God, you're on the ball.
And before that, I went into my neighbour two doors down. And I said to him, there was a man on my roof. And he said, no, there wasn't. So he said, there was a man here wanting to know where the lady of, I won't give the number of my house.
No,
is.
Don't.
No, he wanted to know where I was. Oh, he said, I don't know.
And did you see John the Builder?
No, I didn't.
No, I'm just saying, I presume he knew nothing about this.
Not at all.
This chancer.
No, He was a chancer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
he was trying to get in that window.
And how did it affect you? I don't want you locked in your house now.
Well, I'm still very nervous.
I know,
and I'd like to get a camera. And the funny thing, that morning around 11 o'clock,
yeah,
this pair came to my window, the kitchen window.
Yeah.
And she looked in and I just said no, you know, just waved my hand.
Yeah.
And then she kind of called me again. So I opened the door and she said to me, we found your cat. He was following us, she said, and we brought him back.
Your
but
cat.
I don't believe that, Joe.
Okay, I don't, yeah. Okay.
No.
But don't be too overly... They won't come back, Christine.
Oh, I don't know,
Joe. No, he won't. You have to go on with your life, and you obviously live a very active life. And you're so on the ball. That description of him with his tanned shoes and it was brilliant and the hat, the bow hat. Christine, mind yourself and good riddance to him. He won't be back. Good riddance to him.
Hopefully.
With his lace tanned pointy shoes. Tell him to point the other direction, and that's the opposite direction to Christine, because Christine is on his case. You mind yourself, Petal. Mind yourself.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
And,
bye.
And don't become a prisoner.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Shannon Gorman, producer Ray, is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.